I've got this right, 28:19-20, pretty famous verse. To obey everything I've commanded you, says Jesus. And particularly we're looking at love God and love people. Who's loved the series so far? It's been good. Who loved last week? Yeah, forgiveness. I got to hear it on the podcast, which is good. And Ron did a great job for once. No, just joking. Always does a great job. Oh, man. If only he knew what was happening. It's all good. And today we're talking about, still talking on the same, part two, love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22:39. And it's about valuing or esteeming your neighbor in such a way that you lift them up and care for them as well. And you know, when the Bible talks about neighbor, it's actually talking about, if you read it in context, it's talking about the group of believers and the disciples together. But we can extend that out to the broader community. So it's really, today, I really want to talk about just loving each other. You know, I had this I had this light bulb go off on the top of my head one day as I was reading through the scripture. And I can't remember what it was now. I can't remember the scripture for the life of me. But I just remember one thing that just popped out. It said, it's Jesus saying, basically, if you love each other in the church, he's talking to the church, the disciples, he said, if you learn to love each other, everyone, then I'm gonna bring blessing and I'm gonna grow the church. And it was just amazing. You know, if we have a church that just loves each other, that lifts each other up, that values and esteems his or her neighbor, then God says, I'm gonna grow it. Isn't that great? And in that place, God brings blessing personally, but he brings blessing as a whole. I'm so excited that God is so great and so merciful to us, that he wants to speak into our lives and bless us abundantly and just get a hold of it. I'm just pumped. I want to get into this. Cool. Command 7, we're talking about taking personal responsibility for yourself. The text is Matthew 7:3-5. Many of you would have read this many times before. And when Ron sent it through to me, I went, oh yeah, okay, I know that. Spicks and Specks, what's that? That's a TV show. I never even watched that TV show. Logs and Planks, and I was reading through, yeah, and God goes, no, just read it for what it is. Make sure you go back over, just give it a good solid read, and don't read into it, just read what it says. And this is what it says. Get ready, it's coming. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Oh, you hypocrite, verse 5. You hypocrite. Go, Jesus. He's always saying, everyone knows he calls a lot of people hypocrites. He's nailing it. Maybe we should start doing that more often. I don't know. You hypocrite, Andrew. Loving your neighbor. Yeah, I'm doing well. Please forgive me, though. Thanks, mate. Obviously, you learned something from last week. That's good. Verse 5. You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So basically, let's break this down. It's talking about correcting others. You can stop me at any moment. This is what I think it's talking about. Correcting others from a place of brokenness. Is that right? Is that a good summation of that? Why do you look at the speck in your sawdust, the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? You go, well, they got that going on, they got that going on. But pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. And I think it's talking about, as brothers and sisters together, not looking at the speck, but taking personal responsibility for the plank in your own eye. Isn't that great? I love reading scripture for what it is. Correcting others from a place of brokenness. It's kind of like the blind leading the blind, or... Well, Dave said to me, you know, it's kind of like taking marriage advice from someone that's been divorced 5 times. Or actually, most of this sermon, I've got to give Dave credit. Dave was there for me. I was trying to work it all out. So if anything goes wrong, please blame Dave. Usually Lisa's a good sounding board, but she wasn't as good this time. But Dave just nailed it. I asked for Dave to come up. I said, Dave, I can't do it as good as you. Please get up here. No, it's... Where am I? It's kind of like that. It's kind of like taking parental advice from someone who doesn't have kids. Who hates that? I hate that. So I go, oh, Lord, look at your kid. My kid's pretty rough, right? And to be honest, can I just take some... The other day, I walked into the creche, and here's Zoe, and here's Bailey. I said, hey, and then there's a spinning chair. I said, hey, guys, get on the chair. And they got on, spinning real fast, and they got... It's kind of borderline child abuse, right? Anyway, spinning real fast, and they got off, and they're like... Bam, and all of them fell over. So, Heidi, I don't know if you knew about this, but anyway, and then about 20 minutes later, I walk into the creche room again, and here's Bailey spinning Zoe, going boom, 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 and she falls off the chair. And look, my kid's rough. And if my kid gets a little bit rough with your kid, just understand, blame me. Because to be honest, our game at the moment is see how high I can throw him up in the air and land on a bed. So far, we've got it to about a meter and a half. And or 2 meters almost. So anything my kid does is my fault. See, I'm taking personal responsibility. Moving right along. Anyway, it's ridiculous to think that you can help somebody from a place of brokenness. Absolutely ridiculous. And, it says in that scripture, you can't see clearly enough anyway. When you have a big plank in your eye, you can't see a thing. I was trying to think about it, I was going to get like a prop with a plank, but then I'm like, oh, I don't have the muscle strength to hold it there. You know, except for this arm. This arm's great. Anyway, moving right along. Loving our neighbours by removing our plank is really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting it out of your eyes so that you can see clearly. So you can look at your neighbour and not judge, but look at your neighbour and correct from a place of absolute wholeness. And you know what? I think it's so good. You know, the final outcome of this should be that we're able to see clearly into people's lives and we're able to help people more effectively. And when we're able to do that, God's there, church is growing, people are getting blessed, provision of God is everywhere, yeah? Awesome. How great. How awesome would it be to rock up to church and nobody's got a plank in their eye? Yeah. All right. I thought it'd be good. Anyway, planking deliverance 101, people. Planking deliverance. Here we come. Identify your plank, number one. Planking deliverance. Brother, thank you. Planking deliverance or plank deliverance. What are you going to call it? I did some planking. If you're on Facebook, you might see me planking. Sorry, honey. Okay, I'll move along. All right. Identify your plank. You know, I think that we're all born with a particular gift, and that gift is insight. Yeah? He's born with the gift of insight, right? And that insight is usually in the form of being able to see the wrong in somebody else. Is it just me? Am I the only one that has this... Oh my gosh. All right, this, you as well, good. Ado's with me, great. You're planning a church, man, come on. We're born with a gift of insight, and most often you see it in our culture, where we're able to see the faults in other people, we can't see the faults in our own lives. And we have to learn to identify our failures. I think Ron spoke about it, and I heard it in the podcast just about, I think that there's a culture of wanting to be better than others in Australia in general. And I've got to be better than that person, so I've got to put them down some way to make myself feel better, I just want to make them feel like garbage so that I feel good. I don't know how that works, but anyway. And Ron said, just being better than others, you know, that doesn't even fall into Jesus's or God's scheme. Trying to be better than someone else. God says you all have to be the same. Be servants. Matthew 20, 20 to 28. And this is just a story with... I'll read it anyway. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink my cup, but sit it to the right or to my left. It's not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the ten heard this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, this mother came from a place, we all want, you know, my own boy, I want to see him excel in life and I want to see him succeed and I want to see him become the best that he can be. The mother has that same for her sons, right? She's just said, well, Lord, can you make them greater than other people? But Jesus straight away goes, pride, selfishness, that's your plank. And what does he counter with? I love what he counters with. He counters with humility. Isn't that amazing? Humility. I love it. You must be a slave. Identify your plank. You know, it's kind of like, I guess, because we don't really have slaves nowadays, but like, I just want to try to work out an equivalent. So it's kind of like, you have to be like that, the kid that's got the traineeship, right? That's who you've got to be like, the kid that does all the copying for you and you treat him like basically a slave, right? Or you have to be like the apprentice who just, you have to mess with his head and you've got to set him to do stupid stuff and then blame him for things when you do it wrong. You know, it's the apprentice, it's a traineeship, it's a junior assistant that you just use and abuse. All right, this is what Jesus said. You've got to be like that, a slave, humble. He says, the least will be greatest. The least will be greatest. No, you know, something about the least. And I'm praying about this and reading through the Bible. The least know their condition, right? The least know that they're broken. And we've got to be like that. We've got to know that we're broken. Now we're talking about our own selves. So just forget other people. We're talking about ourselves. We've got to come to a place where we know that we're broken. We know that we're absolutely 100% in need of God's grace. And we're able to admit it. Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. It's a sober judgment. I know my condition. I know I'm in need of God's grace, and I'm able to admit it. You know, what astounds me is in real life, this is real life, but in real life, some people don't even know that they have a plank in their eye. You ever met someone that comes up to you and they pull you aside and they go, oh, this person, you know, he's a bit off himself, to be honest. And all the time you're thinking, without judging, all the time, just from what you know, the time you're thinking is, that's exactly what you've got going on. Ever have people that come up to you and say, I have an issue with this person because of this, and then straight away you can identify, wait, actually that's what's going on in your life. Isn't that interesting? That what we see so bad and so what we see as a speck in someone else's eye is actually the plank that's holding us back in our lives. And I think it's so important to come to a place where you can identify what your plank is. What is it? What is your plank? Ask yourself this question seriously. What is your plank? What is stopping you from seeing clearly? What is it? What's stopping you from being the person God has called you to be? The plank is always going to stop you from being what God has called you to be. Because it always gets in the road. It's just sticking out there. You can't see a thing. You'll never see clearly unless you deal with the bigger issues in your own life. I'm just speaking from myself. I'm getting this too. This is all, God was smashing me with this as well. You know, it's enabling. Actually, I think the plank a lot of the time is an enabler for judgment. I think, you know, we see others sometimes worse than what they are because we can't see clearly anyway. And what may be a little issue in their lives, we're seeing as, well, that's who that person is. I reached out towards Heidi. I apologize. It's not towards you, Heidi. But, whoa, I mean, they've got so much going on. Oh, yeah, but it might only be a speck. But really, inside, you've got a whole lot more to deal with. It's limiting God's ability to move through you. The plank is a massive limiter to God's ability to move through you and to help others and to guide others. And God has called us what? To teach, to guide, to correct. And we can't do that from a place of brokenness. What's your plank? What's your plank? Seriously, ask it seriously. You know, I believe many of you guys, as soon as you said, what's your plank? You knew what it was. You just got to ask it. At every step of the way, Christians, we're meant to become more and more Christ-like. And the only way to become more and more Christ-like is to continually ask ourselves the questions. What's my plank? What's going on in my life? What do I need to deal with, Lord? What's getting in the way from seeing the future that you have for me? Is that right? You're good? You're alive? Identify your plank. Number two, burn your plank. Yeah. Yeah. Burn. Burn, baby. Verse 5, it says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. It's talking about taking personal responsibility. What's your plank? Identify the plank in your life. Do it right now. Write down on a piece of paper. Whatever. Just identify it. Get in your time with God and get there with Him and ask, Lord, what is the plank that's stopping me from seeing clearly? What's the thing that's stopping me from helping this person? What's the thing that's stopping me from really moving forward into your love and your grace and into your plan and your vision? But burn your plank. Take personal responsibility. Get rid of it. You know, it's a matter of choice. I like how it says, Jesus just goes, first, take your own plank out. We have to make the choice to take our plank out. God can't do that for us. And so there's so many things where we have to take a proactive approach. And this is one of those things. We got to identify it, and we have to make the choice to do it. Is that good? Proverbs 28:13. I'm going to show you how to burn your plank. Proverbs 28:13. This is the ESV version. I've never used it before, but it's quite good. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. So his sins or his mistakes will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. God's asking for a commitment here. A big, solid commitment, Tom. Massive, mate. Big, solid commitment. Confess, forsake, give up. Confess it. Give it up. God's saying, here's your chance to get rid of your plank. Confess it to it. Bring it to me and give it up. Get rid of it. Isn't it great that we have such a great God that you can confess and you can give it up and He'll be there every single step of the way, making sure that you don't go back into it. Isn't that good? You know, I was reading the parable of the lost son, and I just love the ending where the lost son, you know, goes off. He basically takes half of his father's wealth, which is, you know, I thought about it in our terms, you know, Dad, can I have half your money? Mum's having it. Okay, well, I'm stuffed, really. But anyway, the last part where he's eating with pigs and he's eating all their garbage, and he goes, wait a minute, I've got a father at home. Even the servants get better than what I have. And he comes, anyway, further on, he runs down to his dad and he goes, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Make me as one of your servants. And the father says, I'm not going to do that. I love you. Brings him in, brings him close. It's kind of like that. God's asking for us to make the confession. See, the father didn't go out and get his son. The father let his son stay out there. And I'm sure at home he's gone, man, praying for him, believing for him to come back home and that he's safe, you know, because any normal parent would do that, right? If you don't do that, you're not normal. So he's at home doing all that, but he never went. He never left to go get his son. He waited till his son had made the commitment to come home. And when his son came home and said and confessed to him, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. And the father went, well done, son. Come in. Come in. You're welcome home. Isn't that a great story? Isn't that just an amazing story? It all begins with confession, bringing it to God. And I love how it always finds its end in the love of God and the love of the Father. Isn't that good? How to burn your plank. Proverbs 28:13, we've just read, confess to God. Psalm 32:5 says, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover up my iniquity. my mistakes. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Confess to God. Bring it to God. I wasn't saying confess, just bring it to God. Say, Lord, here it is. This is my plight. This is what I'm dealing with, Lord. Please take it. And leave it behind. You know, we had a few people over recently, and I like a good fire. Turns out the people that we had over also like a good fire. Maybe a little bit better than, more so than me. But we threw a whole lot of wood in, and you know, what does fire do? It consumes the wood, right? And you can't ever use that wood anymore. And it's kind of like in this situation. If you'll bring it to God and you'll leave it with God, you won't ever be able to use that again. I'm talking about real commitment here. Not just like, oh yeah, God, yeah, please forgive me, the next week you do the same. I'm talking about straight from the heart, solid, under the grace of God commitment. You know what I mean? Like knowing the mercy and the love of God type of commitment. And if you will bring it to God and you will say, Lord, here it is. Here is my life on an open platter. Here is my plank, Lord. Please have it. Take it from me. I'm leaving it with you. God says, I'm going to burn it like a bit of wood that you will never be able to use again. Isn't that great? I think it's great. It's good. It is good. Live in mercy. Confess to God, leave it behind, live in mercy. You know, the funny thing about wood is that it becomes coals. And if I'm right, and you may stop me, coals can be relit, right? So that's the point of just making sure that when we bring it to God, we mean it, that we confess it, that we forsake it and leave it behind. Live in mercy. I understand the only real reason why we live is because of the grace of God. It's because of the grace of God. And I think maybe Ron touched on it last week, but just the enormity of that is just insane. The only reason I live is because of the grace of God. I don't have it all worked out. My brothers will testify to that. So will my mum and my dad. I don't have it all worked out, but I'm living under the grace of God. Where His power, where His forgiveness, where His mercy is just flowing over my life. We've got to live in that place, live from that place. Because when you recognize the mercy and you live from the grace of God, you understand just how powerful God is and you develop a real fear of God. And you know what? I think we sometimes say, well, fear God is to be scared of God. We can't do that. But actually, I think having a healthy respect for the power of God and fearing God, literally to the point where maybe in a tiny way it scares you, is actually a good thing. If I'm scared of God, I'm not going to step out of line. Understand the fear of God. Understand that we're living under the grace and mercy of God. And live in to such an extent where you actually are a little bit afraid of God. Not afraid enough to bring your problems, but you know what I mean? It's great. Love the front row knows what I mean. That's good. How to burn your plank. All right, identify your plank. Burn your plank, confess it to God, give it up, live under the power and the grace of God, which is awesome. Live plank free. Plank free. I gave up planking a long time ago. In fact, I took that one photo, I've never planked again. Oh, planking, what a funny thing. Bored people. Live plank free. I love the payoff for this. 28:13, where am I reading from? Back up here somewhere. Boop, boop, boop. Does anybody have 28:13? You just read it out to me, please. What? Oh, this is amazing. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes, oh, of course, forsakes them will obtain mercy. Doing well. I love the payoff for living this type of way. It's twofold. One, it says, forsakes them will obtain mercy. You'll live under the mercy and grace of God. Isn't that awesome? Number two, is what we've been talking about in terms of loving your neighbor. You have an ability to help others. To help others see clearly. Get rid of your plank, and the Bible says that you'll have an ability to remove the speck. And can you imagine what happens when there is no more planks, no more specks in the room at all? The power of God comes down. Isn't that good? Oh man, I'm pumped. I really pray that you know what? I think our church is well on its way to being there. And I can't wait for the moment where it all just changes. And together we love each other. We're passionate for each other's futures. We believe in God for just crazy things to happen. You know, I'm a personal believer, and I can't understand why the healing of God doesn't happen in such a powerful way as what it happened back then. I'd love to see people walk in crippled and just get saved. And I'm believing for that day. And you get healed, and you bring your sickness and you get healed. It's all through the Bible. Jesus did it. And I love the fact that he says, you'll do greater things. I'm believing for greater things. And I think we can do greater things when we get our plank out of our eyes, when we get the speck out of our brother's eyes. We're going to do greater things. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please get this. The Father of mercies and God of all. Isn't it great we have a God of comfort? Awesome. Who comforts us all in our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction. See, God has to first bring healing to us and comfort and restoration to us first, which comes with identifying our plank and removing it. And it says, so that we may then be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What a great scripture. Awesome. Live plank free. Ability to help others. I love speaking life into people. I love helping them out of situations and places. And I don't do it personally. I love grabbing the word of God, the crux of it, the scriptures of God, and saying, this is what the Lord says. This is what God says. Is that awesome? We don't have to do anything even remotely out of our own abilities. God's already got it written down. And I mean, we were talking in life group this week just about the power of the Word of God. The power of it. And we just all had just one of those moments where we go, yeah, the Word of God is powerful. You know, it should be such a basic thing. Of course it's powerful. It's powerful. That whatever I'm facing, that whatever I'm trying to get through, that whatever's happening, whatever I've committed to God, God's going to see it through. With the word, with his word. Oh, so much power in just getting his word into your life. And I know it always comes back to it because this is church. Believe it or not, this is church. And we have to rely on the word of God. That's why we're always speaking about it. Because I can't bring a message to you. I've got nothing. I can't draw anything out of myself, but I can draw from the scripture and the word of God. Yeah? I want to encourage you, just begin to draw from God's word for your life. You know, I really sense that God's going to bring restoration to relationships. I just, you know, we're talking about loving your neighbor, but I think there's some heavy-duty stuff that's going on with some people's relationships. And God's saying, just get with me. Just get rid of your plank, identify it. I'm going to give you strength to deal with the rest of it. And, oh, man, there's so much power in it. Imagine coming from a place where you can just truly, truly love your neighbor. Truly love those people. You know, gossip free and harsh words all gone. I'm going to have to get forgiveness for the early stuff today. Apologize. But just all that out of the room and away. And you're walking with your brothers and sisters to church. And you walk in and all you have is an absolute deep-rooted love for each other. Isn't that great? Yeah, I'm passionate for that type of church. Passionate, and it's within our grasp. I also, the other thing is we can just see clearly. We can see clearly where God's taking us when we deal with our plank. You ever had one of those times, go, oh God, I've no idea where you're taking me. I don't know what's going on. God says, hey, deal with the stuff in here. And I'll enable you to see clearly the rest of the way. Isn't that good? It's great. Awesome. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Man, you're a good God. You're a great God. More amazing than what we could ever think, Lord God, you are. More incredible. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father, I really do pray. But God, I know you're working in the hearts and lives of all of us here. And Lord, I really pray over just the identification of of that core issue that's stopping us from seeing clearly. And Lord, for some of us in this room right now, we've already identified what that is. And Father, I pray that those that haven't yet, Lord, that you would give them an insight into that. Why don't we all stand together? Love a good standing. Let's just all raise our hands and just keep, if you know what your plank is, I want you to just keep that in your mind for now. Lord, we give you our plank. We give you our issue. Well, whatever it is that's stopping us from seeing clearly, right now in this room, Lord God, we give it to you. We place it at your feet. We put it in your hands. And Lord, we're walking away. We're leaving it behind. Father, I pray for your power, for your conviction, for your wisdom over our lives, Father. Never to turn back, not to reignite the coals, but Lord, to live forever, seeing clearly your grace, your mercy, your love, your forgiveness. That Lord, as a church, that we can love each other the way that you called us to love. That Father, in this place, because right now we're giving this to you, Father, in this place there'll be growth in ways that we don't even know yet, Lord God, but there'll be blessing and there'll be provision and all your mercy and all your grace and all your abundantness, Lord God, will fall. We give you our plagues and we walk away. We live under your mercy every single day, Lord God. Father, help us, teach us, guide us to love our neighbors as you've called us to love. To take personal responsibility each and every day for ourselves and the relationships around us, Lord God. You know, maybe if we just stay in this time, in this moment of, I really sense the Holy Spirit's moving. Maybe today you've come, but you know that you're far from God. Or maybe you've never been in relationship with God. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus loves you. He doesn't care about where you've been. He just cares about where you're going. That right now, even if you're a Christian today, God doesn't care about where you've been. He cares about where you're going. I want you to make a decision today to say, yeah, I want to have Jesus Christ in my life. I want to live freely. I want to live under this grace and this mercy that's been spoken about today. And if that's you, you're going to get to raise your hands or anything. But I want you to pray this next prayer within yourself. Well, we're actually going to pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying for me. I ask you to come into my life so that I can be made free and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thanks, guys.